Welcome back to our final segment of the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Robert Doyle, Deputy Director of the U.S. Geological Survey. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Kunal Saravanchi. Bob, as you've noted, many of the environmental challenges discussed transcend the national boundaries. So, to that end, could you tell us a bit more about the role that USGS plays in international efforts and initiatives that seek to develop a global understanding of the Earth's systems?
USGS has an active international program, in part to provide technical assistance to foreign countries and to collaborate with scientists around the world to further our knowledge and understanding of Earth science. We have many international arrangements with the United Nations, with the Group for Earth Observations, through the State Department. We work with the Voluntary Disaster Assistance Program. We have projects ongoing now with the reconstruction of Afghanistan. We just participated in the International Geologic Congress, and we're also active in the Circum-Pacific Council. Indeed, some of the many national and international resource issues transcend jurisdictional boundaries. Issues such as SARS, avian influenza, climate variability, sea level rise, invasive species, drought, volcanic eruptions, that could go on and on. Collaboration and partnerships are the cornerstone for conducting a wide variety of science and information activities to address these transboundary issues. Let me give a couple of examples here. I mentioned earlier the Circum-Arctic study that we had undertaken on undiscovered oil and gas for the purpose of assessing what is out there in the Arctic region. And it's part of a larger global study to assess the petroleum basins using standardized and consistent methodology and protocols. We also have done a study of gas hydrates in 2002. We conducted a gas production test in Mackenzie Delta of the Canadian Arctic, an area of high concentration of gas hydrates. And we conducted by an international consortium of USGS, the Geological Survey of Canada, Department of Energy, Japan, India, Germany, and industry representatives. We've also done a global minerals resource assessment. 8 years of cooperative international effort to assess the world's undiscovered non-fuel mineral sources and to develop the methodology for an assessment, new models and predictive tools for analysis and application of global assessments. We're also very active in international polar year activities, establish and operate physical and biological monitoring networks through scientific collaboration within and outside the United States with scientists around the world.
And Bob, I understand that the USGS is participating in an extensive aerial hyperspectral survey of Afghanistan. How can these same advanced techniques be applied to find new and underutilized minerals and resources in our own country?
As part of the U.S. effort to support the reconstruction of Afghanistan, USGS scientists have provided information about the potential energy, minerals, and water resources important to the development and stability of the Afghanistan economy. A major component of this effort included a collaborative effort with NASA and DOD to acquire hyperspectral infrared imagery of Afghanistan. Hyperspectral imaging allows us to determine the actual composition of rock and minerals at the surface of the Earth from a high-altitude aircraft traveling 100 miles an hour. This technology and data collection process has been an integral part of the USGS Minerals Program for many years, but this is the first time the coverage has been obtained on a national scale. Our work with Afghanistan is also part of an effort to build capacity in Afghanistan and to train Afghanistan scientists in the application and use of hyperspectral data. The Afghanistan experience will allow GS to develop algorithms and data handling techniques to facilitate manipulation of a very large data set. This will allow development of more advanced techniques that can be used to greatly improve resource investigations here in the United States. This effort in Afghanistan provides a good example of how technology developed by the USGS can be transferred to a distant problem, which then feeds back experience to allow the improvement and expansion of a domestic program, for example, applications in Alaska. This technology is highly accurate and precise and would be especially helpful in flying over remote areas, such as the mountains and wilderness areas of Alaska.
So, Bob, let me transition to the future now. Could you give us a sense of some of the key trends that will impact the U.S. Geological Survey in, say, the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, I would say certainly from a scientific perspective, our science strategy has identified 6 themes that we think over the next 10 years or more provide a good indication of where the future priorities and future focus need to be. But I would also say that from a technological standpoint, we see that real-time nature of data demands is going to continue to grow. There's going to be an increase in public expectation for current information. We also see that the public is going to demand free and open access to science data. You may be aware that the Secretary just made a decision recently that the entire archive of Landsat data, information that we've been collecting since the 1970s, will be made available at no cost over the internet for the public. And to put that in context, people talk about tetrabytes of data. Now we're talking about petabytes of data. It's a tremendous amount of information. And the challenge will be, I think, in the future for all data users, is how do we make that information available in a cost-effective way so that people can access it and make use of it. I think that we'll have increasing use of modeling and predictive capabilities to better understand the potential impacts of emerging societal issues.
So, Bob, you certainly have had a very successful career over the past 35 years. As you reflect back on your experiences, what advice might you give to someone out there who perhaps is thinking about a career in public service and perhaps a career in the natural sciences?
Well, based on my experience, I've found the public service to still be a noble calling. I found it very satisfying and rewarding personally, and a great opportunity for any individual to challenge themselves. The government is a big employer. There are over 2 million jobs in the government. The professions are many, so it's a great opportunity and to engage and to be challenged and to have an opportunity to make a difference. And public service affords a rewarding opportunity to learn more about your government and to get involved at very high levels with responsible work. So I would encourage any individual out there that's considering work with the government to think about coming in and sharing and better understanding how the government operates and look for opportunities to make a difference.
That's wonderful advice. Thank you. Bob, unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time today. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, Kunal and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country across the many roles that you've held across the federal government.
Well, thank you both for the opportunity to share with you stories about the USGS and about its capabilities and its science history. As an organization, the USGS certainly has a strong, proud history and tradition of doing quality science and science that's important and meaningful to this nation. I certainly want to thank all the employees of the USGS who have worked so hard to maintain that reputation and continue to do quality work. And I'd like to close with a little story that I want to share with you. Back in 2006, the USGS was the recipient of an award for the National Partnership for Public Service. They received the Service to America Medal for Community Service, and it originated out of the events that occurred with Katrina down in the Gulf of Mexico. And like many federal agencies, people who lived down there and worked down there remember their communities, and they were affected by that national tragedy. Well, many of our employees use the boats that we have down there, use the equipment to participate in the search and rescue activities. And you might recall that during that effort, the rescue teams were somewhat frustrated in their efforts because the high water tended to obliterate the street signs, covered the street addresses, destroyed many of the landmarks. And so the rescue teams that were in there, many of them from out of state, were not familiar with the area. And they had the regular maps that they were using to try to locate people who had called in on their cell phones, people who were in attics that were trapped, or people who were on rooftops. And they gave them street addresses. What didn't help, because the normal maps were not functional. But our cartographers were able to take those maps and convert them to latitude and longitude so that the rescuers were able to get the calls that were coming in on their cell phones, and using GPS technology, were able to give them a latitude and longitude location. And so the Coast Guard and other rescuers were able to key off of that. It's a very small example that I think of how science can help improve and make a difference, can improve the quality of life of people. And I was there that night receiving the award on behalf of the survey, and I remember leaving the event remarking to my wife saying that I was proud to be a federal servant, proud to hear people talk about the contribution we made as public servants to make things a little bit better. And so I think that's symptomatic of the kind of people that we have working at the survey and the kind of work they do and the kind of contributions they can make to improve the lives of people in this country.
That's a wonderful story, and certainly puts a sharp point to your message around call to service and federal service. Thank you very much. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Robert Doyle, Deputy Director of the U.S. Geological Survey. My co-host has been Kunal Suravanchi, Associate Partner in IBM's Federal Civilian Industry Practice. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who may not be able to hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.